ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 बहूनां जन्मनामान्ते ज्ञानवान् मं प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति सामहात्मस्सु दुर्लभः। बहूनां जन्मनां मन्ते ज्ञानवान् मं प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मस्सु दुर्लभः। बहूनां जन्मनां मन्ते ज्ञानवान् मं प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मस्सु दुर्लभः। बहूनां जन्मनां अन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मस्सु दुर्लभः। बहूनां जन्मनां अन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मस्सु दुर्लभः। बहूनां बहूनां जन्मनां अन्ते ज्ञानवान् मां प्रपद्यते वासुदेव सर्वमिति स महात्मस्सु दुर्लभः। बहूनां many
janmanam
repeated births and deaths ante after gyanavan
one who is in full knowledge
mam
unto me
prapadyate
surrenders
vasudeva
the personality of Godhead
Krishna
sarvam
everything
iti
thus
saha
that
Mahatma,
great soul,
Sudurlabaha,
very rare to see.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Purport. The living entity, while executing devotional service or transcendental rituals after many, many births, may actually become situated in transcendental pure knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. In the beginning of spiritual realization, while one is trying to give up one's attachment to materialism, there is some leaning towards impersonalism. But when one is further advanced, he can understand that there are activities in the spiritual life and that these activities constitute devotional service. Realizing this, he becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrenders unto him. At such a time, one can understand that Lord Sri Krishna's mercy is everything, and that he is the cause of all causes, and that this material manifestation is not independent of him. He realizes the material world to be a perverted reflection of spiritual variegatedness, and realizes that in everything there is relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna. Thus he thinks of everything in relation to Vasudeva or Sri Krishna. Such a universal vision of Vasudeva precipitates one's full surrender to the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna is the highest goal. Such surrendered great souls are very rare. This verse is very nicely explained in the third chapter, verses 14 and 15 of the Shveshvatara Upanishad. Sahasra Shirsha Purusha Sahasrakshad Sahasrapat Savumin Vishvato Vritva Chaschad Dasangulam Purusha Evedang Sarvam Yadbhutam Yatschabhavyam Utamrita Vatasyurash Utamrita Vatsheshano Yad Ene Yan Anena Tirahanti. In the Chandyoga Upanishad 5.1.15 it is said, Navayavacho na chakshungshi na shrotrani na manangshitti achakshate prana iti evakshatate prano hivayatani sravani bhavanti. In the body of a living being, neither the power to speak, nor the power to see, nor the power to hear, nor the power to think is the prime factor. It is life which is the center of all such activities. Similarly, Lord Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the prime entity in everything. In this body there are powers of speaking, of seeing, of hearing, and of mental activities, etc. But these are not important if not related to the Supreme Lord. Because Vasudeva is all-pervading, and everything is Vasudeva, the devotee surrenders in full knowledge. Cf. Bhagavad Gita 7.17 and 11.40. Chakshuru Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. This is actually the greatest blessing, to come in contact with these words of Lord Sri Krishna. We see practically this material world is a nasty place. It is a very nasty place. It is a world where everyone is trying to compete to be the Lord, actually. There is so much exploitation, politics, jockeying for position. It's a very unpleasant situation, this material world. Everybody wants to put forward their own agenda and make it the supreme agenda. If there is a pond and you throw your rock in the pond, some ripples will come out from that rock. If I throw my rock in the pond, then ripples will come out from my rock also. So what happens, those waves of ripples, they clash with each other. In Sanskrit it is called klesha. In English it is called clash. It's the same word. Clash, klesha. Clashing. So everybody is throwing their rocks in the pond. You're throwing your rock, she's throwing her rock. Everybody is throwing their rock. And there's all this clashing going on everywhere. Clashing, 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 clashing going on like crazy. The parents are clashing with the children. The children are clashing with each other. Just, you know, the neighbors are clashing. How much clashing is there out in traffic? Sometimes somebody gets so angry they shoot somebody dead. They call it road rage, you see. And now there's air rage. Sometimes a passenger will go crazy and start fighting, and the on the airplane. that happened on one flight. They had to subdue him, and he actually died. They tied him up, and the other passengers subdued this crazy passenger. He ended up dying, actually. So these things are going on. It's just a crazy place where everybody's clashing. So what is the solution? The Maya body say, well, just merge into nothingness, that you don't really exist, and that will stop the clashing. If I don't exist and you don't exist, then there's no more clashing. Just make it all one, you see. Then there's no more clash. That's the Maya body solution. You don't exist, you see. You're fighting with your friends, so the solution is you just have to not exist anymore. And that solves the problem. The only difficulty is it's just a mental concoction. It's described in the Bhagavatam, vimukti maninas. It is simply a liberation of the mind only. There is no actual liberation there. It's just a mental concoction. You imagine that you have become the one, and everything is one. The difficulty is that I'm thinking that I'm the one, and you're thinking that you're the one. You see, that's the problem. This clash is still going on, you see. I think, yes, now I realize that I am God, and everybody is part of me. So everyone has to serve me. You see, we got into this material world to begin with because we were thinking we were God, and now they think they will get out of this material world by again thinking that they're God? Is that logical? You see, we came to this world under the false conception that I am God, and now we will get out of here by again thinking I am God? This Mayavadi philosophy is very attractive because, you know, people are struggling to make it at school. They don't make good grades in school, and they think, well, I'll try to make it as a rock musician. They get out there and their band doesn't make it. They fail there, and they think, well, I'll go back to college, or I'll try politics, and they don't make it there. I'll try to go into business. They don't make it there. They go bankrupt. So they try to make it in this way and that way. So many ways they try to make it. And they can never make it. They're always way down there, you know, in the rat race, the bottom of the heap somewhere. But then they meet some Mayavadi guru, and he says, actually, you are God. And they go, ah, now I've made it. You see? They're just trying to get ahead in the material world. That's all it is. This Mayavadi philosophy is another way of trying to get ahead, that I'm God. One lady used to come to our temple, and I ran a preaching center for a while in Norman, Oklahoma. She would come, and I was cooking the feast. I always told her not to do this, but she would come to the kitchen door, and she would go, while I was cooking, before it was offered, and she said, what is Krishna going to enjoy today? In other words, I am Krishna. This rascal Mayavadi philosophy doesn't really solve the problem because everyone is just thinking that, yes, I am God. And still, you know, it's all this, so many I am Gods walking around classing with each other. So the actual solution is we have to throw our rocks into the same spot within the pond. You see, if you throw your rock and I throw my rock and it all goes in exactly the same place in this pond, then there's no conflict anymore. Then there's perfect harmony. There's just one nice big series of ripples coming out of this one spot that everybody throws their rock in at exactly the same spot. So what is that spot? That's God. That's Krishna. Isha vashamidam sarvam yatkincha jagajam jagat. If we put Krishna in the center, you see, understand that I am not the proprietor. I only take what is necessary, set aside as my quota, and engage everything else in the service of Krishna, or either I leave my hands off of it. If we simply do that, then all the problems are solved. Mm-hmm. We have so many problems getting along with each other because we're not putting Krishna in the center. As soon as we put Krishna in the center and depend on Krishna for everything, then we have no anxiety. We're thinking about my schemes, by my plans. You know, I can solve the problems. I'm such a great, intelligent person. I can solve all the problems by my schemes. I'm the best friend of all living entities. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. But sorry, that is Krishna who is the best friend of all living entities, who can solve all the problems of everyone. What can we do? We have to let Krishna take charge of everything. We serve Krishna to our best capacity, but ultimately we have to leave everything up to Krishna. We may try to think, well, I'll be a devotee and I have this plan, that plan, this plan, that plan. But ultimately, it's all in the hands of Krishna. We have to leave it up to Him ultimately. We simply endeavor to serve Krishna to our fullest capacity in whatever situation He places us in. That's all. Whatever circumstance He places us in, we serve to our best capacity. That's all. But we cannot control what's happening in this world. You see, that is Krishna's position. There's one nice principle that is a very good principle to help us to be peaceful in the mind. This requires that you develop the power of judgment, the power of discrimination, to know the difference. There are certain things we can control, and there are certain things over which we have no control. So the way to become successful in Krishna consciousness is to learn to tell the difference. Well, those things I do have control over, namely my mind and my senses, you see, take full control of them. Absolute, total, complete control. Whatever you have control over, that you take control, full control. And of that whichever you have no control, you just leave it to Krishna, whatever Krishna arranges. The difficulty is we want to try to control those things which we'll never be able to control. And we don't control those things that we can control, namely our senses. You see. We want to control other people, for example. We want to control so many things over which we have no control, actually. If we would just say, okay, let me just control my senses, become Goswami. Vacha vegam, manasakrada vegam, jiva vegam, udaropasta vegam. Let me simply bring my own senses under control. But instead we think, well, I'm not really ready to control my senses, but I want to control other things. I want to control other people. I want to control what's happening around me. But that's a big mistake. We should simply try to control our own senses, our mind. That we can control. Goswamis. You think Goswami is only for the sannyasis? The grihasthas are not supposed to be sannyasis, or brahmacharis, or brahmacharinis are not supposed to be sannyasi, or not to be goswamis, I mean to say. No. Everyone is meant to be Goswami. Prabhupada explains like that. He gave a lecture in Vrindavan. He's talking these points. That everyone in this movement should become Goswami. This is the position. We have to bring our senses under control. Prabhupada said that we should be such clean, nice Vaishnavas that people will naturally offer us respect. And he said, by offering respect to the Vaishnava, then they make advancement. So we should be such well-controlled ladies and Vaishnava ladies and gentlemen, that anyone who knows us will respect us very much because we have the qualities of Vaishnava. And just by that feeling of respect they have towards the devotee, they make spiritual advancement. Dhira dhira janapriyo. The Goswamis were like that. They were so dear to the people in Vrindavan, the Vrijabasis. Prabhupada explains, the ordinary householders who were living in Vrindavan at that time, they were not sadhus. They were not saintly persons. But they had all respect for the Goswamis, especially Sanatana Goswami. The householders would approach him with their family quarrel. The husband would have his side of the story. The wife would have her side of the story. And Sanatana Goswami, he would hear about the family quarrel between husband and wife. And he would make judgment. Whatever judgment he gave, they would accept. He would tell the wife that she was wrong, and they would accept. Or he would tell the husband that he is wrong, and they would accept. Whatever Sanatana Goswami said, they would accept. He was so dear to everyone, you see. He was dear to everyone, the devotees, the non-devotees. Everyone respected Sanatana Goswami. So we should develop that kind of character, that kind of personality, Prabhupada is explaining, so that people respect us and make advancement. Even without knowing it, they'll make a spiritual advancement, just by the respect they have for the Vaishnavas. So we can't, Prabhupada says, don't demand respect, command it. The different demanding means, okay, you have to respect me. I'm a Brahmin, I'm an initiated Brahmin. You have to respect me. Otherwise I'll curse you. You see, that's called demanding respect. But commanding respect means I'm not asking for any respect. In fact, I'm giving you all respect, seeing you as part and parcel of Krishna. Seeing that Krishna is within your heart, actually. Giving you all respect. And then, because I'm dealing with you as a gentleman, then you naturally want to respect me. So in this way, Prabhupada is instructing us how to come to the position where we actually control our senses and actually can very successfully spread Krishna consciousness to those who are not yet in the wonderful world of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada has indeed given us a house in which the whole world can live peacefully. So the difficulty is right now within the house we are not living peacefully. That's the problem. We're creating chaos in Prabhupada's house, fighting with each other, quarreling over petty things, disagreeing, getting agitated at each other. That's the problem. If we can't make the house peaceful right now, how do we expect the whole world can live peacefully in the house? So within our ISKCON movement, we have to become expert at living very peacefully and nicely together in this wonderful house of Prabhupada's ISKCON. To where, we're tolerant. Prabhupada says, Shama, forgiveness means that you forgive the offenses of others. We have to learn how to forgive the offenses of others. I always say that don't hold grudges. It will fill your heart with smudges. Who wants to have a smudge-ridden heart? You see, full of so many grudges and grievances, this devotee that, and this devotee this, and this devotee and that devotee. Why don't we realize that everyone, anything that's happening to us, it's simply our karma. So we cannot blame that devotee who's simply the agent of our karma. You see? Something may have happened to me I did not like, but actually, it is my karma, that's all. I cannot blame that devotee who is simply the agent of my karma. Rather, I should try to see everything in relation with Krishna and simply try to control that which over I can in fact control, and that's my mind and my senses. Simply do that. Bring our own mind, our own senses under control. And then we'll become peaceful and happy. And then what will happen is automatically the devotees will have more and more respect. If we actually do that, then the devotee community will naturally respect us. Dira and Adira, everyone will respect us. The more we develop saintly qualities by controlling our mind and senses, we will naturally be respected and loved by the Vaishnavas, and even the outside people will respect and love us. If we become very, very sense-controlled, clean and nice Vaishnavas. So the process of Krishna consciousness is not actually difficult. We make it difficult. But actually it's a very simple process. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Remember Krishna and don't forget him. It's a simple thing. It's a simple thing. Always remember Krishna and never forget him for a minute. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness means that every minute the members are meant to be Krishna conscious. When you get up in the morning, Hare Krishna. When you go to the shower, Hare Krishna. When you brush your teeth, before the shower, Hare Krishna. And in the shower, Hare Krishna. When you take your meals, Hare Krishna. When you chant your japa, Hare Krishna. When you take rest at night, Hare Krishna. When you see the devotees, Hare Krishna. Sometimes I see so many people say Hare Bol instead of Hare Krishna nowadays. I wonder if they changed the movement. It's now the Hare Bol movement. And as I go to some festival, and everybody goes, Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. Hardly anyone is saying Hare Krishna. Everyone's going Haribo. If you listen to all the Prabhupada tapes, how many times did Prabhupada always say Hare Krishna? I never heard Prabhupada say Haribo to anybody. He would say Hare Krishna. But somehow we, you know, in our movement, we've gotten to this thing of Haribo, Prabhu, Haribo. I just called to say Haribo instead of saying I just called to offer you my respectful obeisances. We say I just called to say Haribo. So yes, actually we have to remember that Prabhupada always said Hare Krishna, and at least we should sometimes say Hare Krishna. Every now and then, in the middle of all the Hare Bowls, we should at least every now and then we can say Hare Krishna. So remember, what is the name of the movement? This is the Hare Krishna movement, not the Hare Bowl movement. Of course, Hare Bowl is also nice, but Prabhupada rarely said Hare Bowl.
They're going to come out with new branding instead of Hare Krishna, something else.
Well, that's maybe some committee will come up with something, but I'm going to stick to the old Hare Krishna formula. Yeah, there's so many committees now wanting to figure out how we're going to brand ourselves. I don't know, maybe we... But I know what Prabhupada... I know what his formula was. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, are there any questions?
So that controlling his mind is within our capacity.
Let me put my hearing aid in. Make it a little easier. Take some 8 seconds to kick in. I'll let you know when they're on. Okay, the left one's on now. The right one's getting ready to come on. Okay, what's the question?
You said that controlling the mind is within our capacity to do that.
Yes.
But still, it seems very, very difficult.
Yes, more difficult than
a
raging wind and a devastating tsunami. Just imagine trying to stand there and hold it back, that tsunami that hit Lanka. You would never be able to do it. So the mind is more difficult. So how is it possible? Only by taking shelter of Krishna. What is that song? Bhajahu me mana sinanda nandana abhaya charanada vindade. By taking shelter of that the divine son of Nanda Maharaj, then the mind can easily be conquered. Otherwise, we can never conquer. You see, the yogis, they try to conquer mind. We all know the story of Vishwamitra Muni. He was a very powerful yogi. He had come all the way to the samadhi stage of yoga, to all the eightfold system. He had gone all the way, yam-nayam, asana, pratyahara, dharana. He had gone all the way to samadhi. Indra got so scared, oh, he may take my post. Oh, Menaka, you go and seduce him. So that was it. She didn't even have to touch him. All he did was he heard the woman's ankle bells. Oh, a woman has come. That was it, finished. So to control the mind by mechanical process, even if you're an advanced yogi, a powerful yogi who can... scare Indradev by your yogic power, even still the mind is uncontrollable. But for the bhakta, just look at Haridas Thakur, how controlled he was. Vishwamitra was finished by simply the tinkling of the ankle bell, but Haridas Thakur, the woman was dancing naked in front of him and spending the whole night alone with him in his hut. 3 nights in a row. It didn't even faze him. He was just having fun with the whole thing. I will make her a devotee. Yes, you sit here. I will satisfy you. Just let me finish my mala. Yes, I understand you're disturbed. Just be patient. I will satisfy you completely. This way he was playing with her, actually. completely detached, out of love and kindness. Let me save this poor woman who's been sent here to make me fall down. You see? Instead of cursing her or something. No, let me save this poor girl. This poor unfortunate girl who's come here to try to seduce me. So in this way, the devotees are very, very kind. And because of that loving kindness, they are empowered by Krishna to do that which the yogis cannot do. And that is to bring their minds completely under control. One problem that is there, that is called, it's a problem. We have laziness. Sometimes we're very stubbornly lazy. One person, he told me, he says, I cannot chant because the beads won't move. You see? Actually, the problem is our tongue doesn't move. Our tongue does. We have our tongue is lazy. So laziness is a problem. Now, how do we overcome laziness? We all have the problem. I'm not picking on anyone. We all have the problem of laziness. Every one of us. So one time, I asked one devotee in the Bhagavatam class, because I knew that this was one of my faults, laziness, especially in my younger days. So I asked. How does one overcome laziness? Now, I was thinking the devotee would say by hard work, and I didn't want to hear that because I just was dreading to hear that answer. But he answered very nicely. He said, by love. I went, wow, that's really right. Because if you love someone, there's no question, we have to work so hard. You see, how hard the mother works for the child. Taking care of the child, hour, day after, in the middle of the night. But it's the mother takes it as sweetness because she loves the child so much. So, if you love what you're doing, if you love the person you're doing it for, there's no question of work. So, it's simply a matter of love. You see. If we can learn how to love Krishna, then we can chant his name 24 hours, it'll just flow naturally from our lips. If we learn how to love Guru, even we may not be able to love Krishna, if we can even love his representative, the spiritual master who is before us, then because we love our Guru, then we want to chant to please our spiritual master, you see. And then gradually that love for Krishna then will also come. So that is the actual means of conquering over the mind, by love. Not mechanically like yogi. By love, because I love my guru, I love Krishna, I love Prabhupada, I want to please them. I wanted them to be happy with me. I love my Vaishnavas here, my Vaishnava family, my Vaishnava associates. I love them because they love me. And I want to please them. I want to be Krishna conscious to please them also, not to disappoint them that I'm having difficulty. So it all really boils down to that priti purvakam, that loving, the principle of love. Bhakti yoga is based on loving relationships. Questions, Mark? Yeah.
This question was actually posed to me before I left for Denver. It was, not controlling the senses. Say, for example, the actual question was, if a man was castrated, would he still be considered controlling the senses, or is that an artificial means of controlling the senses?
So, a man may think, well, I can't control my sex impulse, so I'll just become castrated, and that way I'll become a Goswami. No, that is artificial, because a ghost, he is not only castrated, he's devoid of all material senses. But yet he still has those lusty desires, and he will enter into a person's gross body and try to possess it, to enjoy vicariously through them. Ghosts, they attack people at night when they're sleeping. They try to enter into their body, or somebody is mentally unbalanced, a ghost will enter into that person. and then manipulate them to do so many things so the ghosts can get some sensation of enjoying that bodily pleasure through their body. So simply castrate him or anything, that is not the way. It's not that, oh, I put my eyes out so I will not look at any beautiful women. But then in your mind you'll be remembering all the beautiful women you saw. So what's the point? What's the use? Simply cutting off the genital or putting out the eye, you know, cutting out the tongue. Well, I always overeat, so I'll just, you know, cut my tongue out and be fed intravenously from now on. But in your mind you'll still be agitated, oh, cauliflower pakoras, glob jamans. Or even worse, you know, hamburger or fried chicken or something. So, of course, hanging for shalom is very nice, but we have to actually hang to become Krishna conscious. That's the hankering. We have to learn how to be hankering after the pleasure of Krishna. That is the way. Simply artificially, you know, removing one of my senses. That will not work. That will not be effective. Simply artificial. Questions, Mark?
One may say that, Bilwa Mangal Thakur left his eyes.
Yes. Yes, there is an example of someone who did put out his eyes so he wouldn't bow down from Brahmacharya. But Prabhupada told us not to imitate the great personalities. So we don't recommend some brahmachari is agitated, he should go in the brahmachari ashram and put out his eyes. Of course, Prabhupada did one time say that sometimes the brahmacharis will complain, we don't like to have the women chanting in the temple room during japa period because we're agitated. Prabhupada said the temple room is for everyone, actually, men and women both. He said if those brahmacharis are so agitated, they should just go to the forest. They're that agitated, they can't chant in the same room with the Matajis, you know. Japa, you know. The women on one side, the men on the other chanting japa. If you're chanting, you need to keep looking at the other side. Now they just go to the forest if you're that agitated. But the actual principle is that we do not imitate such personalities as Bilwa Mangala. For him, that was a divine pastime, actually, to establish his greatness, his renunciation. But we put out the eyes, we'll still be meditating, and still in our mind's eyes we'll be seeing women. So it's not, for us it's not practical. It was a pastime of a great devotee. It was all, actually, he lived for hundreds of years, 700 years he lived in Vrindavan. And Krishna would come and associate with him. He's a great personality, actually. But we cannot imitate that putting out the eyes of Bilwa Mangala Thakur. Questions, Mark?
Yes,
we have one fallacy. And that is, if you don't ask me questions, I ask you questions. It's much easier to be one who asks than the one who is asked. So be easy on yourself and ask me questions. Yes. Yes, how many people would like to see a whole hall full of Muslim people ecstatically chanting Hare Krishna? Anyone like to see that? All right. We'll do that. We have a DVD player here, Hare Krishna Mani? Yeah.
We have some technical.
It's all ready to go?
We have some technical difficulties.
Okay, so this is very recent. It's hot off the press.
It's a DVD.
DVD. This was last, well, this was in April, just the end of April, right at the tail end of April, a little over a month ago. Maitaji and I went to, this is Vishnupriya Devi Dasi, my constant companion, traveling companion, wife, preaching companion, for those who don't know. So she was doing the filming, well, that's why you don't see her, because she was filming it. Well, it came out pretty good in spite of it, but This actually was shown on, this is being shown right now on television in Austin, Texas. We have a TV show in Austin, Texas. Comes on every Saturday morning.
Separate TV.
You want me to turn it off?
No, pretty.
Turn it on, okay.
It was right, but you put your hand.
Oh, no, it wasn't falling.
Oh, okay.
No, it was okay. No, it wasn't.
It's tilted.
Tilting, but it wasn't falling.
That's for this.
Where's the engineers? Yeah, how many engineers do we have here? All the engineers in the whole city of Ottawa can't get it to work. What's good of your engineering degrees? Where's the DVD players?
You sit down.
Okay. All right.
Well, until then,
we can
let them figure it out. If anybody has questions, they can.
Yeah, but I don't know. Everybody's brain has gone to the tube now. Does anybody have a brain that's still able to hear the philosophy at this point? Or has everybody's brain gone to the tube?
Well, I
if there's any questions, we can. Any questions, Mark? Okay, some question has been asked. The question is regarding the mind being seen as a temple. Yeah. If you will keep Krishna in your mind, then your mind becomes a temple. That's the thing. If you don't think of Krishna, then your mind becomes a brothel. So, instead of having your mind as a brothel, you make or a liquor shop, something like that. You make your mind as a temple by always keeping Krishna in your mind. And the easiest way to do that is chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Simple way. Questions, Marv?
You are chanting some japa?
Sixteen? Very good. You're offering all your food before you eat? Very good. You're following all the regulated principles? Now you have to get initiated. You pick one of our wonderful ISKCON gurus and you come disciple. That will give you extra potency.
Okay.
Looks like we're making a little progress.
Unusable signal.
At least we're getting a warning message finally.
How do we find a balance between our own chanting and temple service, going off for preaching?
Oh, how do you find balance between all the different devotional activities? All right, that's a very good question. Let's see, if this comes up, we'll save that question for later. But
no,
it looks like it may be coming now.
And then start DVD. You can answer that question.
I'll begin answering it. How do you balance your chanting with everything else? Okay, sound.
Of course, positive, you know?
No, keep. Go ahead.
Can you just come to the back?
They want more volume. A little bit more.
Hare Krishna. Here we are in Istanbul, Turkey. We've come here to introduce the science of Krishna consciousness here in the Muslim world. One may ask, why Krishna consciousness in the Muslim world? Why not the Hindu world? Actually, Krishna consciousness is not Muslim. It's not Hindu. It's not Jewish. It's not Christian. Krishna consciousness is the universal science of the soul. The soul is called Atma in Sanskrit language. The soul is a spiritual particle, 1/10,000th, the tip of the hair, in quality one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. And the soul also is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. The soul never dies, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead never dies. So we've come here to introduce the Muslim people to this universal science of the soul, because it is actually equally applicable to everyone, no matter what country you may come from, no matter what race you may belong to, no matter what your religion is, your sex, it doesn't matter. Krishna consciousness is completely a universal science. Because wherever you go in the world, we see that people want to be happy.